Hello, I'd like to welcome everybody, and we're going to start. My name is Wojciech Siemaszkiewicz. I am a curator of the West Slavic Collection and the Slavic and Baltic Division, which is located in room 217, and I am one of the co-curators of the Graphic Modernism exhibition that you can view upstairs in the Wokenheim Gallery. We also have a catalog. In case you haven't seen it, you can purchase it at the bookshop upstairs. I would like to introduce Professor Thoman. Professor Ingrid Thoman is at the University of Michigan, and he teaches Slavic and German literatures. We had the pleasure of hosting him a couple of weeks ago during the Symposium on Meaning of Modernity, where he spoke about the graphic arts in Germany during the Nazi times. Today he's going to speak about Czech avant-garde books, which is, I think, a topic that he's very familiar with. He wrote many books and curated exhibitions on that topic. So please welcome Professor Thoman.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in such a great number. I'm also glad I made it because the traffic outside is really bad, and flights at LaGuardia are delayed because of the strong wind. So nonetheless, we are almost on time. So I think this was meant to be an informal presentation, basically giving a basic orientation and kind of a survey thing. So what I will talk today about is basically the 1920s and a little bit about the 1930s. And the structure is really, you will see a lot of slides. I will not read anything. I will just comment on them. And actually, I could take my beamer. Okay, so I organized it in the following way. Let's start with a book cover. And this is a book cover from 1922. And this is a book cover of a collection that was published by an art group that emerged in the early 1920s in Prague and had a strong branch in Brno also during the time. And the group was called Deviat Sil, which literally means nine powers. And there is a long discussion on what it means. This was the central or key group of the Czech avant-garde. Not that the Czech avant-garde would have been just one single group, but this was, they were sitting in Prague, they were very numerous, and they were very active, and attracted attention this way. This is a collection they published in the fall or winter, I think Christmas, actually, 1922. And as you see, this is, today maybe we would not pause above this. It's nice. The collection was called Life. So this is the, and at the bottom you have, at the bottom you have a subtitle, A Collection of New Beauty. And however, it is a very remarkable book cover, and the book is very remarkable itself, the collection. It's probably the first photo montage on a Czech book in 1922. The cover is printed entirely as a photo montage. And it is a cover that is really not in the style of, some of you I'm sure know these Berlin photo montages, Dada photo montages. This is very different. This is a photomontage inspired, essentially, I would say, by L'Esprit Nouveau, by France, by a different kind of thinking about photomontages. It's not chaotic. It's kind of classical in the composition, balanced. And there were all sorts of interpretations of what it means. At any rate, we have a column there, which is a kind of a reference to some antique concept of art and beauty, perhaps. And at the same time, superimposed, there is a car wheel, which is in reference to the present times and to the present Czech times as well. The seascape behind that is a little bit mysterious, but probably the Czechs, they don't have the sea, so they probably inserted kind of a sign of their desire for distant horizons and this type of thing. In Poetism, this is the this was the art direction that Devyatsil was propagating. In Poetism, travel was very important. Now, at that time in Europe, photomontage and these modern covers were popping up all over. In Russia, in Germany mainly. The Czechs were somehow slow, however. They started very well with this one. Then in 1923, there is one excellent cover, I think. This is for a poetry collection. And that is, again, that is by a man whose name was Mrkvička, and we'll see him a little bit along the way. I think this is 1923, and this is, again, a kind of a photomontage of the kind that has some echoes from materials that are not very popular today, like postcards. There was a lot of postcards at that time that kind of brought accumulation of city architecture, and also put on the into the skies these indispensable futuristic or not so futuristic means of transportation. Otherwise, it's a main street in Prague. This little bit embellished by American skyscrapers here. So this was a little bit in the line. So it's a cover of a poetry collection by this poet here, Seifert. And there is, there would be a lot to say about that. It is in the style of what the poetists and what Devyatsil liked and produced at that time. It is in the style of picture poems. All right, the range of these poetist covers, and poetism, remember again, this is the direction advocated, propagated by this group, Nine Powers, Devyatsil. The range, the explosion comes then in 1924, basically, and there is a lot of, from 1924, there is a whole range of covers. I'll show you just these four backwards. And let's first look at these, at the kind of rationale behind that. This was an onset, at least in this domain, of really aggressive or intensive art of mechanical reproduction. And the spirit of poetism was, they very much liked this. They liked photography, they liked photomontage, new ways of printing, new ways of typography. And they disliked what was before, and that's not quite unusual, and what was before. Before this period, there is quite a strong culture of the bibliophile book, bibliophile in the standard sense. Customized small editions, valuable precious materials, leather binding, hand coloration, hand paper, handmade paper. And Taige, Karel Taige, we'll see him down the road, he was one of the main theorists of this group, and he thought this about this, that this bibliophile culture, this was all distinguished by three cardinal errors, he said: decorativism, archaism, and elitism. And the last thing was particularly bad, since, and let's quote, and since it became an obstacle in making the book accessible to the people. This he repeated many times. The fine book meant at the beginning of this century the bibliophile book, luxuriously embellished and almost unique treasure of collector snobs and bookworms. Decorative art embellishes books and makes them more expensive through frivolous splendor of decoration so that they are inaccessible to, and I just kind of reformatted, so I'm missing the last line. But it's he is going in this sense that it's something elitist, inaccessible. By contrast, these books, as you can see, these are very simply done books, low quality of paper, kind of basic printing techniques. It was not actually so easy to print good photography on the cover. It was technically not good photography printed mostly on coated paper, but coated paper was not good for covers. So these are all basically paperbacks or paper-bound books. This is a book designed by an artist, young artist then, Tittelbach. And this is probably, it's from 1925, and it's probably the first book that says inside in the colophon that it has a photomontage cover. So this is probably one of the first occurrences of the word photomontage in Czech. As you see, material, this is some soap opera or some kind of American movie of the time. Probably those of you who are good at movies will recognize the actress. I don't. It was a poetry collection again. Entertainment. This was big, and modern city kind of entertainment was very popular with the poetists. This is again another. It's a prose collection by a poet, Nezval. The author here is anonymous. That is, has a pseudonym that has never been deciphered. And it's about 1926. So this is there is another cover here for a theater play. As you see, the range of these early poetess covers is quite big. Here are echoes of illustrated magazines, cinema programs. Here is an echo of a movie still. Here is just an unenhanced photograph embedded in modernist typography. And this is, again, a composite picture on a book of essays. Let's mention several important names. One is Jindřich Štyrský. I think we have some problem here. There is a Y is missing after this K. He was he did this kind of books as well. He was a member of this Deviatel group, and in 1924 he started doing book covers. And I am talking, unfortunately, mostly about book covers, I must say, that I will say very little about the conception of the book and what it looked inside, which would be important. Actually, maybe we'll have time to talk about that also. And Shtirsky became then an enormously important surrealist painter in the 30s. He was a painter in the 20s as well. So this is actually a typical profile that painters were doing also covers, but not only painters. And he became one of the central figures of characters of the, or even organizers of Czech surrealism in the 1930s and early 1940s. He died in 1942. This is, again, today perhaps not so shocking, but it's one of the first brochures, it's a brochure, that uses a photograph on the cover. 1924. He did four or five books in 1924, and all of them use photography or composite techniques that kind of we can call photomontage. This is another famous cover, 1924 poetry collection. This book would require or merit, I would say, more than showing the cover. It's an interestingly designed book inside, but I don't have any images. Another book cover by him, also basically incorporating photomontage. This I am taking is not kind of real, real world event. I think this was this is fiction. Shtirsky then did a very famous series of Fantomas. Fantomas was were detective stories that made a great uproar, really, in France, in part through film versions, and they became very popular with the surrealists, with the French surrealists, who saw in them kind of parallel to L'Otremont, to this type of poetry, but in a pop way, in a pop sense. These are all detective stories. These are already photomontages that go in this kind of surrealist direction, of which Shtirsky was a very fine representative. One more by him, 1930. This is 1929, 1930. This is 1930. Another person I already mentioned, I quoted Taige. Taige worked, was really a central person in the Czech avant-garde book, and he did many covers, he did many book designs, and he also wrote about the book. He actually wanted to write a whole book on modern book design and typography, which did not happen, but he wrote several essays which, if we collected them today, might be taken as a kind of as chapters from that book. And I quoted this whole bibliophile discussion was from one of these essays, 27-28. He worked together with another Deviatsel member, Otakar Mrkvička. And occasionally, it's very hard to say which is whose. That is, they had very different styles, and obviously they complemented each other in this respect. And this was something that was very popular then, or welcome then, maybe more welcome than popular in practical terms, working in teams, not doing individual work, but collective work. And that is kind of goes hand in hand with this dislike of uniqueness and bibliophile things and liking of mass reproduce techniques. Taige began as a kind of naive lino cutter, I would say. Here, this is, I think, 1921 or 22, I don't remember, a novel with his lino cut. But then he quickly moved towards a more abstract way of doing book covers. There are some echoes of emerging abstract arts, especially I think as it was, as you might have seen it, for instance, in this Dutch group De Stijl, S-T-I-J-L, right. He very much liked these rectangular compositions, both of them, Mrkvička and Taiga. So there is really, there are kind of multi-level or multi-plane compositions that really they produced in great numbers. And the idea was really not necessarily to put modern art on the book, but really to produce modern book in the first place, to produce a modern book and modern book cover. Another cover, 1928, so we are in the second half of the 1920s. Deviatsel and Poetism is still around, but they are already going slightly beyond it. Yet another cover, the signature, the initials M-A-T, Mrkvička and Taige, and the cover is interesting because it takes a motif from Hartfield. Hartfield has a book cover for a novel which I don't have here, and this hand with the gun, with the revolver, is on it, and so they appropriated it, although certainly not from the original, because this is black and white, and Hartfield had it in color. So I'll get back to it, to this whole issue where these images come from. A very important part of all this was this, what you may actually expect after what we heard about bibliophile art and dislike of it. There was a number of publishers, proletarian publishers around, and the avant-garde worked together with them and provided and made book designs, mostly covers, occasionally typeface or typography for these books, I would call them, of the proletarian reading. That is, these are Russian books, proletarian books. This is a novel of a proletarian woman. And you see that the avant-garde wanted to be there and wanted to modernize this type of workers' education or edification, let's say. Another example. All right, let's mention two more names, Štýrsky and Toyen. Štýrsky and Toyen were also central members of this group, and they did also several covers. Again, the style is kind of similar. There is an emphasis on these rectangular planes here, and there is always an attempt, or there is always incorporated photography in some sense, photomontage then. So the photomontage line was very strong, but not exclusive. I'll get back to this. This is their covers. There are four or five from that time, so we are looking at 1926-27. They are very, let's say, free, entertaining, relaxed. They were at that time in Paris, actually, and I think they must have been mailing this to Prague, to the publisher. And here, this is a wonderful composition of this diver, his image was migrating through European magazines, and he's there dancing together with this girl from the chorus girl, I think. Now, a very basic thing was this, that this type of, that the photomontage, photographic cover, modern typography, was very quickly migrated into the commercial publishing. And in fact, that's not quite a precise way to say that. It was not kind of unidirectional that first the avant-garde developed this or discovered this, and then it got kind of diffused and commercialized. The avant-garde was actually in a more complicated configuration, because there was definitely, the avant-garde was actually borrowing or appropriating material from pop sources that were there before. So it was a kind of dialogue between the avant-garde and commercial publishing of the usual kind. Nonetheless, the tendency was that the avant-garde, perhaps in these years 24, 5, 6, 7, was very strong. But then, and the commercial publishing less, but then the commercial publishing comes in very quickly. And I'll give you a very funny example. There was a very important big publisher who published, Sphinx Yanda, sorry. And Sphinx Yanda, this publisher started, for instance, to give you a kind of sense of what it meant, this modernization of the book cover. He started a series of esoteric titles, and he made a lot of money on them. That was popular in the late, he started in 1915 or something like that. It still was reasonably popular at the beginning of the 20s, but then, and this is one of them, so this is an esoteric title, I mean, super esoteric, Stanislas de Guaita, which is a kind of a guru in this domain. It says, at the threshold of the secret. And as you see, this is kind of symbolisms. I am not very good at that. I'm not an art historian. This is some kind of sepulchral motifs, guardians of some eternal fire or something like that. This is what it matches the contents. This was the iconography of this whole movement. Now, what did he do? He had dozens of these titles, and at some point in 1926-27, he just ripped the old covers off like this, bundled them by four together into kind of convolutes, and put these covers on them. And that tells you everything. These are stills. These are movie stills. So he didn't even bother to ask someone, do me some photo montages or something like that. And that was an immensely important step, because that meant this was a sign of modernization. This is how he transformed this into this. I'll get back to this. So this period, the second half of the 20s, is not only the revolution on the avant-garde line, but it's also a revolution in general kind of book design across the board, including commercial publishing. And this is really very funny. He put just some kind of... These films were popular those days. Here is some Babylonian priest or something. Here is some kind of mesmeric, or how do you call them? he puts this lady asleep through his hypnotist. Yeah, that's the right word. So it fitted the contents in some sense. But the main thing was, these were not drawings. These were stills. These were photographs, in this sense. And what follows is an explosion of this of the photography-based design. I will just go through a few of them. 1929 book on kind of encyclopedic book on modern technology. This is a nice book, I think, 1930 or maybe 28. I don't remember now. It's a book by a Czech emigre to America who lived here and wrote a book about America. So again, photo-based cover, photo montage, that is, and that was regarded as an adequate way of talking about America, basically, and about modern times, if you want. Skyscraper. It's a good kind of Dada-inspired photomontage still. There is no insistence on anything real of the photomontage. There is no insistence on any illusion. The photomontage shows the scenes in the sense that this plane is not here where it should be, but it's here, and that's fine, and these soldiers here, but not somewhere here where they should be. It's a photo montage of that type. This style became very popular also in all sorts of pulp. This is a kind of series of detective stories, 1930. In humor, in satire. All right, let's still mention one more name, Jindřich Štyrský. Jindřich Štyrský, actually I introduced him already. I apologize. Let's return to him. And what happened in the early 1930s was that the avant-garde actually started working for big publishers. So remember this guy Janda, his Sphinx books, he just did it on his own with these stills with this Babylonian priester and so on. However, most of the big publishers engaged by 1930 or something like that, they engaged their artists from the avant-garde, and the avant-garde starts working for them. And the idea there, from marketing point of view, from bookmaking point of view, quite clear, big series. Not just individual titles, but series. So this is a series called Pyramid. The Pyramid, there is a pyramid there. I copied it with the spine, so this does not belong to the cover properly. And it's by Štyrský. And it's again a photo montage. He did many of them. Some are just kind of unenhanced or graphically enhanced photographs, so not everything is photomontage. And the basic thing is there is a logo, and we are really in big publishing. These books, this series had dozens and dozens of titles. Another title Štyrský did in the 30s, we are now moving into the 30s, quite an actually interesting, visually interesting title, combining close-up with a portrait photograph. At the beginning, Štyrský worked with Doyen together. So this was she was a very important painter of the 20s and 30s. And remember this diver with a chorus girl? This was their co-production, just like Taige and Mrkvička worked together, Doyen and Štyrský worked together. Doyen stepped into this commercial book design as well. And this is a series of books that she did for another publisher in the like years 32, 3, 4, 5. I will not comment on them much. Some are clearly inspired by surrealism, then this is already in 1939. And for instance, this moth that was a popular animal. Brashai has a lot of photographs, for instance, with moths, and it's kind of the poetics of the night that steps in here, and it matches the theme of the novel here. Toyen did these series also. One interesting thing is the presence of violence there, guns. And there would be a lot to say about that. I will still name one more person, Muzyka, Franciszek Muzyka. Franciszek Muzyka was also originally a member of this Dewiecel group. This was a very big and loose group in a way. And he also joined in the 30s this mainstream, actually, avant-garde artists working for the major publishers. I scanned also the spine here, and his style at that time was very, in some sense, minimalistic. If you look at this, this is just a photograph. I mean, a cutout, and the background, and he was very. This I think was his kind of handwriting. He would then use a kind of clear graphic sign. In this case, he used a swastika, which is again the topic here. But this is not coincidental. He did covers of this kind for yet another publisher. So you see that in book designing terms, these were trade books, no outrageous typography, no outrageous typesetting. The main thing was to produce this dust jacket so that the book, and there was even a slogan at that time, the book must be seen. This is a book to look at, basically, meaning not through leafing, but to be seen in the shop window. More Muzyka of the mid-30s. All right, just some funny remarks. Where to get the material, and this would be an interesting kind of topic in and of itself. This on the left side is Styrski. This is some kind of run-of-the-mill novel. And on the right hand, you see a cover of a French illustrated magazine, Vue. And that was a very famous, very important magazine at that time, with big, big photo design covers mostly. And this is a photograph by Man Ray on the right hand. He had this type of photography. I never understood it, but maybe some specialists here who know better. I mean, I never understood the merit of it. But so they were basically scouting through these. The book designers were scouting. Or searching for their motifs and materials. And many of them were movie stills, as you have seen before, and many of them were just contemporary material, magazines. Toyen did something similar, but with a movie still. This is a novel by Jakob Wasserman, a popular author then, translated Antoine. What did she do? She, does anyone recognize what this is? It's M, but where is the M? It's gone. So it's the famous movie by Fritz Lang, M for Murderer, and Peter Lorre, who plays there, is being pursued, and his pursuers manage to write with a chalk, or kind of imprint with a chalk on his shoulder from the back, a letter M for murderer that identifies him. And he sees in the street somewhere a mirror and looks at himself in the mirror. So here in the film, he has an M with a chalk. Toyn removed it, generalized it, made a kind of a alter ego motif. So this is a, what is it called in German, Doppelgänger motif. Nobody objected. That was a fine thing to do. The readers of the novels, of course, knew that this is Peter Lorre. This was a popular film at that time, but that didn't matter. The very gesture that there was a cinematic source on the dust jacket, that was enough. That showed this is a modernly done, this is a series done in modern style, and she in a way did a comment on this by removing this M and turning it into a kind of a more general level. All right. Okay. So far I've talked mostly about... how much time do we have now? It's 3 o'clock. Should I go... could I take some 10 minutes more? Is it fine? Okay. So far I talked about mostly photo-designed covers. Not much about the book conception. That would be... some of these books, especially the avant-garde books, are very interesting inside. I talk mostly about these covers, photo covers, photo montages. That was not the only line. Tiger, they of course venerated photo montage and they liked it very much. And Tiger, for instance, writing in 1932 a very ideological statement about photo montage, just an example, paintings which produce unique objects, originals. Painting has been replaced by mass-produced collective art in exchange for the feudal bourgeois oil painting. There comes photomontage as poster, book illustration, book cover, illustrated magazine. Photomontage is one of the purest and most perfect shapes that proletarian art has produced. He's driving, he's really cheating, and he's making photomontage part of the proletarian new proletarian history. It is an authentic art of the revolution and the construction of society. This was at a time that he was very pro-Moscow and very much to the left. And it gives you an example that there were attempts to interpret this technique of photomontage as something acceptable, not just a game, not just some kind of a fad, but something serious and perhaps even linkable with social revolution. It was not all about photomontage in the avant-garde book. Look again, let's go through all these names again very quickly to see that they did also things like that. So, Musica. He is really not looking at... this is just an abstract composition. This is just a typographically based kind of design. Ditto here, the same. These are books from 1928. So at the same time as photomontage is going strong on book dust jackets, you see this. No reference to photography. also musical still, basically abstract rectangular compositions in a variant of this Taigen Mrkvička type thing. Štyrsky, 29, so as he does Fantomas, for instance, he does also this. 30, I think. I call it minimalism, but that's just a label. Don't confuse it with anything contemporary. And he, Štyrsky, does this, for instance. This is around 1930. So it's it would seem that it's a kind of a incompatible thing, that it's a little bit paranoid. He, on the one hand, photography, on the other hand, this. I think there is, however, a very important connection. Both of these styles were styles that removed the drawing hand. The drawing hand was an anathema, basically. The drawing hand was an expression of subjectivism, of romanticism. German typographer Chichold, Jan Chichold, says, "We don't believe this illusion created by the subjective drawing hand," he says, 1928, something like that. And there is an important, there was an important typographer, Paul Renner, R-E-N-N-E-R, and he published a book, I think 1929 or something like that, called Mechanisierte Grafik, Mechanized Graphics, and it includes exactly these two lines. It includes, and it even includes film. He regards film as a kind of mechanized graphic art. And the common denominator is exactly this. The drawing hand is removed. This is not an era of the drawing hand. These are two compatible, mutually supporting lines of mechanical design. Photography, or use of photography, and this typographic type of puristic, simple, minimalist design here with diagonals. There would be much to say about that. Some of the designers, and here I'm slowly going to coming to an end. Some of the designers, like Zdeněk Rosman, there is a heart check missing there. He's Zdeněk. Did this right away from the very beginnings, 1925, a very kind of elementaristic composition on a magazine cover. And then comes the era of white space, of monochromatic empty space, like this. Minimalism, elementarism, if you want, 37. So we are now well in the 30s. But still, these two lines go side by side. This is Rosman also. This is also 37. I will leave out this, and I will conclude with this. So you have seen, basically, in very quick succession, these two main lines as they were there. We didn't talk much about the interior construction of the book. But let's return. Remember, one of the reasons to go in this, motivations for the avant-garde to do this kind of design was the dislike of bibliophilia. All these are big editions, or in kind of projected as big editions, affordable editions. But if we look more carefully, the best examples of these lines are actually avant-garde bibliophilia. After a while, the circle came to close somehow, and Štyrsky is doing, he was a painter, he is hand-colorating his books. here the Czech poet Macha, the poem May, which is famous for Czech Romanticism. Štýrský is giving hand coloration to these books. So here you have two copies of a limited edition. In one he did the flower in a kind of red pink hue, the other one is blue. Here the differences are not so big anymore. I will just rush through this. Tiger, this guy who was really making a bibliophile editions an anathema, he is producing books that have all of them. So this is the typographic line. This is the kind of puristic typography line. No drawings, no photography, sorry. All of these books have, and we are in the year 28, have a bibliophile version. And above this one, this is a famous avant-garde bibliophile book, even the cover is handmade. So the planes, these strips, these color strips, they are pasted on the base, on the paper of the base. This could not have been another way than by hand. Although there are of course differences, and it's not the bibliophile type, of course, of the late 19th century, turn of the century. Nonetheless, it's a closed edition, numbered issues, preferred issues, hand-colored issues, and all these things that you have. And the same holds to some degree, I think most, for this poetry collection by Konstantin Bibo. This is 1928, I think, or 9. And I think it was 1928, just as this book. And then finally, this book, which is not necessarily a bibliophile book, although it has, I think, some bibliophile copies, but this is also an example of this minimalistic style. Where I copied also some of the illustrations inside. And you see these are typographic compositions. This is all based on what the typographer, what the typesetter has in his case, typesetting case. Tiger was, however, then actually criticized for this. There were critics who came and said, this is new decorativism. So the cover is still rather kind of pure in that sense. But this, it's even kind of Mondrian-esque, if you want. And however, the illustrations that he attempted here, he was actually criticized for. This was, some said, this is new decorativism. So maybe I leave it to you to resolve this issue. Okay, we started with a critique of bibliophile books, and we end with avant-garde bibliophile books. I'll leave it to you to resolve the issue. How come this is possible? Thank you.